The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
My name is Greta Thunberg and I am from Sweden. If you see this video, we have been intercepted and kidnapped in international waters by the Israeli occupational forces or forces that support Israel. I urge all my friends, family and comrades to put pressure on the Swedish government to release me and the others as soon as possible.
Greta Thunberg, as the report, by the way, from the Israelis, is, of course, is that they were warned that they're not allowed to do this. But if you see the body cam video, the Israelis also were very, very careful to show the body cam video and say, nobody's injured here. We're going to return everybody to their homes and that sort of thing. So let's talk about it more. I really cannot imagine that we're still having this conversation about the anti-Semitism worldwide. October 7th, we still don't have all the hostages home, which is not acceptable. Well past 600 days, people living as a hostage somewhere under these godforsaken caves in Hamas custody. It's unthinkable to me. Let's bring in David Zimmerman, who's writing about this, who's vocal about this. Good morning, David.
Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for joining me this morning. You know, we want to talk about the anti-Semitism that we've seen, even in these Los Angeles protests. Somehow it morphed into from ICE raids, arresting people with rap sheets and so on. It morphed over several days, in fact, to a situation where we have people who are saying that they're anti-Zionist, which is code for something else. But first, can we talk about that as far as the anti-Semitic violence that has continues to erupt in America?
Yes, ma'am, of course. Just for your audience's awareness, I retired from the FBI after just about 25 years working counterterrorism. I'm now involved with George Washington University's program on extremism, and we study a number of different forms of extremism, and I concentrate on anti-Semitism. And you're absolutely right. We're seeing a trend, a rise in anti-Semitism post-October 7th that's taking over not just the United States, but globally, where we see incidents of this anti-Zionism, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. that has morphed into anti-Semitism. And there's some definitions there because there's some nuances where we have folks from the far left extremist side agreeing with folks on the far right extremist side who all agree with some of these Islamist extremists that anti-Semitism is the common denominator. And they may have different perspectives on that anti-Semitism. For instance, the far left is very much anti-Zionist, anti-colonialist, whereas the far right is very much involved in the normal tropes of the global domination of Jews, the dual loyalty of Jews, those types of historic anti-Semitic tropes. And then, of course, the Islamists look at Jews as being a sort of a mortal enemy, and the creation of Israel has caused a lot of that as well. So, but we're seeing a rise, as you've mentioned, May 21st in Washington, D.C., two Israeli diplomats killed while somebody's, you know, Elias Rodriguez, the attacker, yelling Free Palestine. Less than 2 weeks later, June 1st, Boulder, Colorado, we see Mohammed Solomon attacking a group of Jewish demonstrators who were demonstrating in support of trying to bring hostages home. And he attacked them with these homemade incendiary devices and was yelling Free Palestine. So we're seeing this rise in anti-Zionism, anti-Semitism post-October 7th. And it's not just rhetoric now. It's actual violence. And it's concerning.
Yeah, and David Zimmerman, I mean, somebody as a former FBI agent, you were responsible for bringing home some of those hostages. And I've read and seen you on Fox News. We've watched you as you've talked about the forgotten, back then, last spring, it was the forgotten Americans of Hamas terrorist massacre on October 7th. But overall, do you feel that those remaining hostages, we hope and pray, at least two dozen, but do you feel that they're somehow forgotten?
Yes, ma'am, that's a very good point. I agree with you. 55 hostages remain. The majority of them are deceased, 33. Of those deceased, we have two Americans who were murdered on October 7th, and their bodies were taken captive along with these others. And only just a few days ago, we had two other Americans who were deceased, who were murdered on October 7th, Gad Hagai and Judith Weinstein, rescued in an operation, their bodies rescued. But I do think they're forgotten. So when you have somebody like Greta Thunberg, who, again, I don't want to get political, but when we have this, what I consider somewhat of a spectacle where they bring attention to one issue but forget about another issue. And I will say this, that on all sides, both sides, everywhere, people don't want innocent civilians killed. I was in Israel recently, and nobody on the Israeli side wants innocent Palestinians killed. So to speak for the innocent Palestinians, that's noble. Everybody wants that. But when you actually say you're kidnapped by Israelis, it's the irony is damaging, because you, as you mentioned, 55 hostages remain. They've been there for 612 days, suffering. The ones that are alive have suffered immensely. And Greta Thunberg handed a sandwich on a boat with her colleagues that came over. I look at it as they were protected. They were kept from having to encounter Hamas. Who knows what Hamas would have done to them if they would have actually met with Hamas? And were they talking about bringing aid to the hostages who are starving or being beaten in these tunnels? No, that's lost. So the forgotten hostages, you're absolutely right. I think the world forgets that.
And you were, just to refresh everybody's memory of this, you were an active duty FBI agent until fairly recently, right, stationed in Israel from 2020 to 2024. And so you've written about, you witnessed firsthand how that tragedy of October 7th was impacting, especially the American families, but everybody. You were right there front and center. And so can you take us into that world? You know, just what you saw, what your feeling is as you watch, especially American media and how this whole thing is portrayed. I think accurately you're saying, as far as a Greta Thunberg, it's the selfie generation. It seems to be all about her as she shoots a selfie stand up and makes sure her hair looks just right. Meantime, you have people like you're saying, 612 days. Oh, my God, down in a cave somewhere. I just wonder if you can give us any perspective as far as the suffering and how tense the situation is.
Yes, my role in Israel, I was the counterterrorism representative for the FBI overseas, and so worked with Israelis on all matters pertaining to counterterrorism. And that's a conversation we certainly can have another time. But when October 7th happened, the FBI's role overseas is to assist Americans who are victims of or even subjects of criminal violations. So when there's a kidnapping or a murder or somebody's wounded in a terror attack, the FBI will open an investigation anywhere in the world and work with the host nation. So October 7th, we saw at the time 45 Americans ended up being killed on October 7th, and people forget that. 12 Americans were kidnapped, and numerous were wounded in these attacks. So, of course, the FBI is very involved, and we had the lead on that. So that my role as being the FBI agent working counterterrorism station overseas was to be sort of the eyes and ears of the FBI. We, of course, had a number of folks come out and help, but to witness what we saw, I worked very closely. My whole entire last 10 months of my career was spent working the war and specifically working the hostage crisis. So I worked with these American families, and I exchanged intelligence and back and forth with the Israelis. I wasn't involved directly in negotiations, of course. Our CIA director at the time, Bill Burns, was very involved, but I was in touch daily with the Israeli negotiators, and we would make sure that everybody was on the same page and we understood what could we do to get these hostages home. And there were some successes. Within 2 weeks of October 7th, we were able to get two American women who were visiting Israel at the time, Judith and Natalie Renan. We were able to get them released, and I had the opportunity with our Deputy Special Presidential Envoy for Hostage Affairs, Steve Gillen, to meet them as they came out of Gaza. And then, of course, in November of 2023, 105 women and children, their release was negotiated, and I was there for that as well. But to see the devastation that this is taking on these American families, and although the FBI has a special responsibility to American citizens, and we took that very seriously and we helped our American families, we actually, the FBI in the United States, was there for all the hostages. So we were there, worked with the Israeli hostage families, provided them intelligence that we had, and tried to assist them however we could. And we continue to do that. My replacement is doing the same amazing job there now with our U.S. partners and our Israeli partners that the team that I worked with was doing when we were there. So, but again, even though I retired in the summer of 2024, this is a topic that's front and center for me. I'll tell you one quick story. I know we're limited time, but Rachel Goldberg-Pollin, she was a mother of Hirsch Goldberg-Pollin, who tragically was murdered in late August of 2024. Most people know the story. As a young 23-year-old American kid, he was at the Nova Music Festival. He was in a bomb shelter with 29 other innocent kids who were trying to enjoy themselves, and they were attacked by Hamas. 29 individuals in this tiny little bomb shelter. 11 grenades were thrown in this bomb shelter. He survived, but he had his left arm from the forearm down blown off. He was thrown into a truck and taken to Gaza. And the first public sign of life wasn't for 5 or 6 months later when a propaganda video was published. But he was tragically killed a few months after that, right before apparently an IDF a rescue attempt happened. He was killed with 5 other hostages. But the reason I tell you this story is his parents became very close to, and his mother on day 26 of the hostage crisis began wearing a tape over her heart with the number of days her son was in captivity, that all the hostages were in captivity. 26, he said, this is long enough. My son is in captivity for 26 days, and I'm wearing this so people know and ask about it and realize this is too long. Well, everybody, all the families, the American families, were supportive, and they began wearing tape, and I began wearing tape, and my wife began wearing tape. But we started really wearing the tape on day 100, thinking, oh, my gosh, this is 100 days. These hostages are in these worst conditions that you can imagine. Think about it now. They're still wearing tape. My wife still wears tape. 612 is on the tape today. So it's just hard to understand how this is still happening, and that, yes, nobody wants innocent civilians to die. But I think if Hamas, an Islamist extremist organization, a designated terrorist organization by the United States since 1997, would release the hostages, put down their arms, the war would be over tomorrow.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
And David, to your point, nobody reports on that. Nobody says that. It really is bizarro, upside down land. And so we thank individuals like yourself. You were there at, you know, at ground zero, literally. You know these families who've suffered, and we continue to pray for the few alive. And even to your point about, you know, just the return of the bodies so that the family members can have closure, which, you know, you would think that at least they would allow that, but they hold the bodies of these murdered hostages. They continue to hold them. It just makes me nauseous, to be honest.
You're absolutely right.
Oh, God, 612 days. And then to see the protests around the country like this. David, thank you so much. I hope you come back. And I know on a one brighter note, locally here, and this was a local story, it was Idan Alexander, that we covered. Yes. We covered this. The community came out. It was like I was crying. The community came out before daybreak. And they were just praying and singing and celebrating his homecoming. We are so grateful that, thank God, he has come home alive.
Yes, I'm thankful as well. That week I was in Israel, actually, and I was supposed to have coffee with his mother that week. And, of course, I said there's no greater reason for us to cancel our coffee than your son coming home. And an amazing family, a family that suffered immeasurably. And until people can think about that, what these families, what would you do if your loved one, you could not communicate with your loved one for 500, 600 days, not knowing where they were, not knowing if they were fed. It is surreal. So people cannot forget about the hostages. And I'm happy to come back and talk to you about so many other topics. But thank you for having me on.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.